Hello, welcome to ABW Radio. It's the Ostersons game. How the devil are you? Tell you what, sorry, apologies for us being late tonight. It's just one of those things, technical issues. Yes, my HD camera has broken the internet. Gee, look at that, Shivan Tata's already having a pop at me. Right, let's go. I'm going to introduce my guest today. Let's have a look at the chat box. Okay, we've got Daniel Cronin, we've got Fro Grower, we got Harvey Thomas, Petito 100, and 235 100, Carlito Elguna. Have I mentioned you twice? Formerly Noza, no nickname required. Thunder Road is back. Oscar Arias is there. Did I say Daniel Cronin? I'm losing the will to live today, guys. Honestly, Stephen Edwards, Shammai, how are you, Steve? Here we go. K-Man 1867. Yaz Guna is there. Somebody, Rudy Rastlos. There was somebody else I wanted to mention. MSM25. I tell you what, it's a nice busy chat box tonight. I'm gonna come to you guys and I see you. I hope you're all well. It's been a strange week. Obviously, Steve I is there. Everybody's giving a stink. Shivan Tata. Everybody's giving it. Loki 73. Everybody's giving a stick today. What's happening? Phelps SJSP's there. Okay. Tonight we played Ostersons. And to discuss that, I have Danny the GFP. Say hello, Danny.
Well, Jace, how you doing?
Nice. I'm all right. Thanks, mate. I'm tired. I'm getting old. And I'm not good.
I'm enjoying the HD drops of rain on your window. Back you now.
Cheers, mate. Lovely.
Cheers to Stefan for paying for your camera. He gave us all the Stefan, money.
You're a legend. Pablo Amar's there. Corey Austin, the legend that is. Marquis Hodges. Hello from Columbia, South Carolina, saying. Hello, Marquis. How the devil are you? And tonight, breaking his ABW radio virginity, we have the one, the only, Gunaholic. Hello, Dave. How are you?
Hiya, Jace. I'm probably more tired than you, getting older than you. And, But yeah, thank you very much for inviting me. This is a first, and it's going to be, it's a bit scary, really, doing it live. You haven't got Danny to edit afterwards.
No editing needed, you, David.
Yeah, you won't need it, mate. And it's a pleasure to have you on here. You've just upped our credibility by an unbelievable amount. Kevin Urenda is in the box as well from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Hello, the devil are you? And David Keith is there, the McManus, and a dodgy geezer called Matt Carr.
Oh, McManus. He sounds a bit ginger and goblin-y and hairy-footed.
No comment.
What's the odds of him coming up behind your window? Because he knows where you live and it's closing.
I hope not. I really hope not. The neighbours will complain. Joe V2's in the box and New Wave Girl. All right, that's enough of that. Let's get into the game. Welcome, everyone. Really chuffed you joined us. Dave, bearing in mind it's your first radio show, let's go to you first. Looking at the lineups, you know, there was a nice mixture. It's quite a strong team. You look at Ostersons, they've beaten Atletico Bilbao, they've beaten Hertha Berlin, but they've only played one game in the last month or two. Do you think it was the right lineup for the night?
Yeah, I think it was. I think we got quite a good little balance there when you consider you had a fairly experienced back four with Callum Chambers being bought in for a game that was probably good for him. An interesting kind of pair of defensive midfielders. It was good to see Ainsley Maitland-Niles get his chance at last. Although he wasn't strictly speaking just defensive, he kind of did that little job that, or half of the job that Ramsey does when he plays alongside Xhaka. Only this time it was Elneny who was retained. Xhaka dropped to the bench. Elneny, as we know, can quickly convert that back four to a five. And I thought Ainsley played that little bit advanced of him, not quite box to box, but certainly half to half. And ahead of them, of course, a wonderful trio of creativity with Mkhitaryan and Mesut Ozil and Alex Iwobi. Poor Danny Welbeck got his chance up top alone, and he looked, I thought, a little bit rusty, and I'm sure we'll come on to that later. Hardly surprising, given the lack of games that he's had of late. But I have to say, I thought the balance there of youth and experience was very good, and you still had players like Kolasinac to bring off the bench if needed. But no, good choice, I thought.
Nice. Yeah, it was a strong squad. Right, a couple more shout-outs you want to give. Srinath Murali, Shamai, how are you? Nicky Wilson, the one and only. Kevo Gunner's there. Kevo Gunner's there as well.
What did Nicky put about you? HD Jason, kill it with fire.
Charming, isn't it? Charming. And that black guy's there. So, yeah, we got a full house of local idiots, and we do love them all. Oh, JPB3000's there as well. Dan, the pitch, obviously this was an all-weather pitch. It was one of the 4G pitches. You know, bearing in mind, there was a bit of conversation before the game. And I don't know if you saw the mounds of snow in the background outside the ground, but they were massive. There was a bit of conversation before the game about this pitch. We do train on these indoors, etc. Do you think it should make any difference to us?
From what little I know back in the days that it was Luton, QPR, Preston, and maybe possibly Oldham. They were the ones that had the real old artificial pitches that were. I mean, but always remember Les Seeley wearing full length jogging bottoms whenever he played, and Bruce Gobbler. But I think talking to Dom from, I'm probably going to plagiarise and get wrong what Dom said. I think if people have knee injuries or dodgy knees or Achilles, it's the way that your foot bounces back. I don't think the normal turf gives when you stand on it and then doesn't spring back. This stuff does spring back a bit. So I'm sure Dom will explain it next time that he's on here if people want to know. You've got no choice, have you? Because like our mate Chris with his Pirates, they've not played a game for, I think, probably two or played one game in the last 2 months because of the rain and because of the weather down there. Now, when you're playing up and you're only, someone's put in the chat box, only 200 miles from the Arctic Circle. I think they're 500 kilometres northeast or northwest of the capital of Sweden, Gothenburg, I think that is. I think they did say during the radio, the talk sport to the commentary, because I missed the first 10 minutes because I got up late. So you've got no choice. You've got to have these pitches, because imagine if you'd have had a few inches of snow on that pitch, yeah. And then you'd have tried to scrape it all off. The floor is going to be frozen. The grass is going to be knackered. So it's really good. Plus the team was only formed in 1996. So they've built a new stadium and they've got put this pitch down and it did all right. There's a few players that I wouldn't have liked seeing playing tonight. I think Ozil, Mkhitaryan, and maybe Mustafi, as soon as we were 2 or 3 nil up, and it looks like they weren't going to get anything. I'd like to have seen those come off, only because if Mustafi pulls up, gets any kind of injury, then we're that back down to playing people that Wenger doesn't like in defence. But yeah, I think the pitch was okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. To be honest, I had no problems with it. You know, it's something these guys are used to. You know, they've got to play in it, and it's the same for everyone. Dave, back to yourself. Started off early, lots of pressure from us. The commentators mentioned a lot that Östersunds seemed so sort of starstruck, you know, by who they're playing, even though they're at this point in the Europa Cup on merit. You know, they've earned the right to be here. These aren't goaltenders from, you know, whatever. These are professional footballers. They may not be of Arsenal stature, but, you know, they've earned the right to be there. Mkhitaryan had an effort, a great block from one of the defenders, and then we opened up with a Nacho goal. What were your thoughts earlier on about the beginning of the game?
Oh, I thought the first 10 minutes we were, 24, 25 minutes, we were absolutely bossing it to a degree that it looked as though Östersunds were out of their depth. But of course, it was only the fact that it was their first game for so long. I think they wanted to start, try and keep things tight, so they sat back. We played almost the entire first 25 minutes in their half of the pitch. And like you say, it was there was early chances, and the Mkhitaryan shot that was blocked gave us the opportunity for a corner that ended up with, I think it was a shot from Alex Iwobi that the goalkeeper really should have kept hold of, but he parried it and gave it to probably the most lethal man we had out in the side today on recent form, Nacho Monreal. So that 1-0, you thought, if they don't come back and do something soon, this could be anything. And of course, 24 minutes, or I think it was, came the second goal. And it was, again, relatively straightforward and poor defending. We managed to get a cross in from the right. I think it was Mkhitaryan. And the defender leant into it with his arm and brushed it inside the far post. So at 2-0, at that point, you thought, yeah, I think we're going to have a really tasty win here. And then all of a sudden, Östersunds, it's as if they found that they had a little bit of form themselves and they've rediscovered how to play the game. And for kind of the last 15 minutes of that first half, I thought they looked a very, very well organised and good attacking side. And they gave us all manner of problems. There was no doubt that Ospina was the busier goalkeeper in that last 15 minutes. So they really showed that we could have been in for a tricky second half.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. You know, we had lots of dominance in that first sort of 25 minutes, half hour, but I was a bit disappointed with just two goals. Quick shout out, Clayton Maddox, thanks for turning up. You're a star. Abdul Farah, how are you, pal? Ron Ree is on his skiing holiday and still tunes in. I'm so impressed. Mr. Boblex is there as well. You know, fantastic. You never let us down. Chat box never lets us down. Danny, going back to the Welbeck goal, we're having plenty of pressure. Oh, sorry, the own goal. It looked as if Welbeck had grabbed one. And to be fair to the poor guy, you know, he wasn't at his best tonight. You know, it was more likely to go into his shin rather than his foot. Did you think that Welbeck had scored, or did you initially think it was an own goal?
At first I thought, oh, excellent, because of the camera angle. I thought, yeah, Welbeck's got that. Excellent. He's off the mark because he hasn't scored in a while, partly because he hasn't been fit and partly because, I don't think he's a decent, good enough player for us. Always been misused. I'm just looking here to see if I can find his the last time he scored a goal. Yeah, and then when the camera angle changed, I saw that it had. I thought, maybe Mickey has managed to curl it in. I thought, well, that's a bit of an odd angle to try and curl it in from there. And then you saw as the camera turned around, hit the bloke on the arse and went in. Just looking here, the last time that Welbeck scored a goal was four games ago against Forest. And then the one before that was in December against West Ham. And the one before that was a couple against Bournemouth in the Premier League, which I think we had a brilliant game that day. So, I mean, this season, he's not doing too bad. He's got six goals in 25 appearances, but you've got to be thinking, why is he getting so many chances and just not producing? Tonight it was probably the best chance that he's going to get in recent times to go out there and get some goals. And it's just unlucky for him. I mean, if he'd have got that, like it's the age-old thing, isn't it? Goals breed confidence. So if he would have got that one, even if it had gone in off of his knee, then he probably would have been up for it a little bit more. And hopefully he would have got another two or three in the game because the goals were definitely there. But like Holly was saying, for me, the beginning of the second half, they came out and they looked like, right, this is it. We're 2-0 down at half-time, wasn't it? Was it 1-0?
Yeah, 2-0 half-time. But this is the thing.
Yeah, 2-0 down at half-time, and I thought, that's it. They're going to come back out for the second half and they're really going to be up for it. I mean, that's what I saw. And I thought, here we go. They might get the odd goal here.
Well, to be fair to them, you know, when they did start to play, as Dave's already alluded to and you said, Dan, they looked decent. They looked a decent footballing side. You know, okay, they may be limited in what they have. And to give an example, their highest paid player is on $4,000 a month. Now, we have players in the academy. I don't know. He's on a commentary, but we have, you know, I know one of their names, right? You know, we have, you know, people in the academy probably on $4,000 a week. And it really shows the chasm of, you know, professional levels you're looking at. But they came out and they looked decent. They forced a spinner, Dave, into a really good save. And I got to be honest with you, for the rest of that first half, I felt we were thoroughly underwhelming. I thought I was really disappointed when we did have possession. I felt our decision-making was poor. We showboated a little bit too much, you know, as in taking too much time with the ball, not trying to be incisive enough. And we never got ahead of the ball. Did you share those thoughts or do you disagree?
To a degree, I do. But I think you've got to give some credit to Ostersunds as well, because they really forced us back. And it was, we were talking about earlier, we'd gone with a good blend and a very experienced back four, with the exception of Chambers. And they were thoroughly tested, very, very good, by a very good side. I thought what was interesting is that kind of last 15 minutes when we lost control, that we didn't see the impact from Ainsley Maitland-Niles that we thought we might. And Elneny took a real lead in that department. And there was a degree of working back by Mkhitaryan and Ozil. Iwobi kind of flittered forward and back, and we left gaps there that they could exploit, which kind of, I would share your disappointment in that respect, but it was 15 minutes out of a game, and I think we probably thought at 2-0, we were so surprised, we took our foot off the gas a little bit. It came back after the break.
Yeah, it took a while after the break, but Dan... You know, we're looking at a team that has played one game in a month or two or whatever it is, a month or 6 weeks. And you'd have thought, you know, with, you know, you've got Ozil on the pitch, you've got Mkhitaryan on the pitch, you know, you've got Iwobi on the pitch, you've got a solid international players throughout the side. You know, I look at that and I think, okay, it's an exercise for us now to try to get the best out of these guys after a really disappointing weekend. And I understand that Maitland-Niles is going to be, you know, it's his first start in the centre for us. You know, you've got to give him a bit of leeway. But I expected better from the team. Do you share what Dave thinks? Or do you think, well, you know, you've got to credit Ostersunds?
Yeah, Dave's always right. But you're looking at the team, there's only five players that started tonight that would be guaranteed starters for virtually every single game of the season. And then you've got people like Elneny, who's still working at making that position his own. Chambers, who is usually out in the cold and isn't really getting much chances, which is a bit of a shame. Then we've got Maitland-Niles, who got an Opta rating of 8, which is our third best Opta rating of the game, with Ospina getting a man of the match, Ozil with 8.1 and Maitland-Niles with 8. But like Dave was saying, it's just in playing in that position. Like, a lot of people have been saying that they want him as the defensive midfielder. That is not going to work with him. From what little I know, what little I see, he needs to be set a little bit free. But like Dave was saying, a few other people did come back, and they were like Mkhitaryan was tracking back a little bit. Ozil. At times, I thought Ozil is playing a little bit too deep, and when he's coming into the centre of the midfield. I mean, Ozil can do what he wants because he's one of the greatest players we've had in the club in Premier League history. But when he comes into midfield, that's going to disrupt any kind of partnership that Elneny and Maitland-Niles have got. Now, at times, I thought, is Maitland-Niles, has he been told to do the defending? Has he been told to do the holding? Has he been told to get forward and do the attacking? So I'm not sure really what his role was, but I thought he was all right. But it's going to take a while for someone who has been playing mainly at left back and then a little bit out wide for most of his Arsenal career, which is all of 5 minutes. It was interesting to see him play in that position. And yeah, needs a few more games. But like Nicky Wilson has just put in the chat box, Maitland-Niles is not the DM you were looking for. I think he might have meant that in a kind of Star Wars voice. That's true. But yeah, I'm quite happy with it. But you're going to look at the football yearbooks in years to come, and you're going to see, we beat a half decent team at home who had 5 clean sheets from their last 6 all for their last 6 games. Yeah, I think they played 15 games in the Europa League so far. So I think of their home 6 home games, they've had 5 clean sheets, and the most they've conceded was 2 against the Spanish team. So to go there and score, to go there and score three, I think it's all right. But the performance at times was a little lackluster. But they're not going to be roll over and die, are they? They played well.
Yeah, in all fairness, you know, it is -3 degrees out there, and you could see a lot of them with leggings on, and you know, the thermals on tonight, Dave. The end of the first half, we came into the second, and my initial note is for the first 8 to 10 minutes, more meh. I wasn't kind of enjoying the game. I thought, you know, I expect us to dominate a bit more. Not, you know, I didn't expect us to score 12 or anything like that, but I thought we'll go out there and we'll dominate them a little bit more. But they came at us, and then we replied with the Ozil goal. Well taken. Talk us through it. Dave?
He's muted.
Yeah, I have. It was going to bound to happen once, wasn't it?
I had it at three.
Old so people shouldn't be allowed anywhere near technology. what I was saying was, before I answer that, Jace, Carlito asked a question in the chat box, why is Aubameyang cup-tied for the Europa League? And that's because he played for Borussia Dortmund in the Champions League. They didn't finish in the top. They came third in their group. And so in December, they were officially a Europa League team. And that's why he can't play for us. When he signed in January, he was already a Europa League player for Dortmund, even though he hadn't had a game yet. I agree with you, the rule's daft. But anyway, in answer to the question, Mesut Ozil's goal, it was once again... we've seen Mkhitaryan and he form a really useful alliance in the game against Everton. They didn't really click against Tottenham when we needed them. But again tonight, I thought they interacted very well indeed. And this was a case in point. Mkhitaryan saw the run that Ozil made into the inside left channel, played the ball in. Ozil just took it in his stride. It wasn't the most accurate of efforts because our friend Mr. Cater in goal got a hand to it, should really have got a big enough hand onto it to keep it out. But as with the first goal, he kind of flapped at it and it ended up rolling over the line and into the net again. So there was good and bad in the goal, but credit to the partnership that's developing between Mkhitaryan and Ozil. And let's hope they can reproduce it in the bigger games to come.
Yeah, they're two quality footballers, aren't they? You know, I mean, I've had my doubts about Mkhitaryan, and you know, yes, Saturday he was very disappointing, but the skill level you can see that is there. You know, the brain, the interplay he tries to bring to the game, it could be very exciting. Dan, yeah, after the Ozil goal, lots of possession. But we seemed, you know, our decision-making seemed poor again. You know, there's always a stray pass or too many touches. Decision-making and execution seem a real issue for us at the moment. You know, what do you put that down to?
Well, if anybody's heard Steve's rant in our WhatsApp group about fucking passing, blah, 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 he's totally right as usual. But I was surprised to see we had a 92% pass success rate. So, yeah, maybe Steve was Eddie Nketiah had 100% pass rate, and Elneny, 97%. Callum Chambers, 95%. We had 829 passes. And we were successful with 759 of them. So that's going to be 70 passes that went astray. And each one of those 70 was like a dagger into Steve's heart. He was furious about it. But maybe we can get Steve to come on here, because I think he'd be great for his post-match analysis. Because every time we go on about Steve's messages. So, Steve, we're going to get you on here, aren't we, Jace?
Yeah, we'll have to.
Yeah. Okay. I'm just looking at here. The ones who give the ball the worst, here we go, that's not surprising. Mkhitaryan only 82%, Ozil 90%, and Iwobi 89%. No one's surprised at Iwobi. Yeah, but when you've got players like... Go on.
I'm gonna ask you both about this. You know, I saw most of those giveaways in the final third. We lack the penetrating ball, don't we? You know, is that a frustration for you, or you know, how do you feel about it?
For me personally, I thought that in the second half, virtually from start to finish, both sides decided that they were going to exchange possession and give the ball back to each other to see who could hurt who. Sounds ridiculous, but it was kind of played like a training game that second half. Very odd. And apart from the goal and the penalty, every single phase of play looked the same. We'd make 30, 40 passes to get it up one end. They'd bring it back, have 20 or 30 themselves. We'd get it and go back there again. It was doing my brains in, to be honest.
Yeah, I can imagine. Dan?
I think the only one that would be driving nuts is Lacazette, because you look at Lacazette, we read it out the other day. He's the number of goals and the number of Premier League games and then the number of Premier League assists and the second assist. He's doing really well. But like you're saying, if you don't get the service, you're not getting the right passes, the passes have been put into the wrong positions, then it's going to be driving people like Lacazette crazy. And probably why he chucked himself off of the training thing, so he doesn't have to put up with him anymore, be out injured for a while or however he did it. But the a really nice thing that we saw is, was it Mkhitaryan that said in the media today that Ozil is the best player in the world in his position? Now, that's not the kind of thing you'd ever hear someone like Sanchez come out and say, because Sanchez will just be wearing a T-shirt with his own face on it and holding two glove puppets of himself, walking around going, look at me, I'm the greatest. Well, you look at Mkhitaryan now, he's played three games for Arsenal, he's had five assists. That's if they're going to, the own goal, that should be an assist because he kicked it and it went off the bloke's arse. But it's just a matter of getting all the players working together. I mean, in the centre of midfield, there wasn't going to be that much creativity from Elneny, is there? Although he had a 97% pass success rate, and him and Maitland-Niles haven't played together before. And these sort of things take time. So when you've got that midfield kind of five going between them, I think only when it went out to the wings was the, and then out to the wings, and then the balls from the out of the wings inwards, yeah, they were the ones that were the incomplete passes. But again, when you've got five people playing in the middle for Ostersunds and you've got three at the back, it's going to be hard to try and thread balls into the players that you want to receive the ball without one of those getting in the way. So that, I mean, that's always going to be a problem. If you're not going to be world-class at playing football, then you just get in the way of those who are playing great football, which is a lot of that happened tonight. I mean, I'm not saying anything bad at all about Osterhunds. I think they did really well. So not for a second am I putting them down. They've had a good game and they did well, but I wasn't expecting us to win 3-0.
Yeah, to be fair, it's a great credit to Ostersunds. They kept their shape really well in defence and they cut out a lot of dangerous plays. Dave, I want to go back to Iwobi. 89% pass completion is normally pretty good. I look at him, I see him take too many touches on the ball, but there was one moment in the game where we're playing out in defence, the ball comes to him quickly, he turns, gives a great pass, his movement was fantastic off it, there's the player I can see, okay, there's the player I want to see, because he's got a lovely pair of feet, and when he is in full flow, he's good on the ball, but do you see a decision-making his biggest issue at the moment? What's stopping him going to the next level?
For me, it would be his inconsistency, which is only to be expected from a young player who's still learning his trade. But you'll see him come out some weeks and it looks as though he doesn't know what to do with the ball at all. But when you see him at his best, everything he does is positive and natural. You spoke about him coming out and playing a first-time perfect pass to relieve the defence tonight. There was also a moment in the second half when he was playing sort of in front of the right back. So he'd come across and he sprinted out of defence with the ball and quicker than I've ever seen him run before down the touchline until he reached the fullback at the other end, came down, cut it inside and set us off moving again. So he, when he's positive, when he's natural, when he doesn't have time to think, then I think we see the best of him. I think his problem comes in other games where he does have to think because he can't see what's going on around him. I think there are days when he's better at that, days when he's worse. It's part of being a young player developing. How long do we wait for him to achieve that consistency? that is down to him, but yeah, that's what we have to see, I think, sometime in the next 18 months.
Okay, so a follow-up question on that then. Do you think he should actually take a bit more control when he's on the ball and actually play a first-time ball to where the guy should be going? And, you know, and say, right, I'm going to put it in front of you. It's down to you to get there. Because, you know, if you look at Ozil, if you look at Mkhitaryan, these guys, you know, they've got that vision of where they would expect the player to go to. And do you think it's Iwobi not trusting himself yet and deciding to back himself and play that early ball?
I think that's a possibility. And I think, as I say, sometimes he'll do it, sometimes he won't. I think if you have a look at Ozil in particular, Ozil usually has a favourite player he wants to play with and he will look for first time. And that used to be Alexis. They had a kind of telepathic agreement. Each knew what ball was going to be played where, and Alexis would make sure he was there or thereabouts. I don't know that Iwobi has that link with another player in the side yet, and where that will come, who it will be with. I'd like to think it would be Aubameyang or somewhere like that, because if we can get him integrated and firing off Iwobi, firing off Mkhitaryan, firing off Ozil, then we've got ourselves a hell of an attacking lineup.
Okay, cool. Dan, we had a couple of penalties. Well, they shouted for a couple of penalties on Mustafi the first half, etc. That I don't think they deserve to be dignified with the response. But Hector, towards the end of the game, gives away a stone-cold penalty, which was frustrating. Give me your take on the way he gave away that penalty.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Before the show started, I was doing. Well, can I just a quick point on what you said to David? I think not only is it a matter of timing, but quite a lot of the time, Ozil and Mkhitaryan will get the ball and they'll quickly lob it and pass it to another player. I see Iwobi quite often slowly lob it to another player. So although he gets it into the right position, by the time the ball's got there, the opposition player is there at the same time. So it's got to be quick, powerful balls into the right position rather than just volleyballing, lofting them there. But yeah, people, I said to Jace, don't ask me about the penalty because I was busy trying to do the JPEG for the tweet and I was trying to find the Ostersen's badge. So don't ask me about it. So I don't know, Jace.
Okay,
I'll pick it up. I'll pick it up, Jace. actually, there were two. There were two at the start, or fairly early on in the second half, where both times the same player, I think was his name, Godus or Gosford or something, I thought looked to initiate the contact with Mustafi and then made the most of going over. So I didn't see either of those as penalties. I thought actually the one that was given was something similar, but it was a different couple of players involved. And I can understand why, from the referee's view, from what he would have seen of it, he thought Bellerin might have initiated the contact. So it was one of those, you've seen them given, you've seen them not. Just delighted that we had Ospina in goal and not Petacek. And so at last, we saw a penalty saved.
There was a really funny tweet from Mems, and he said that he put a picture up of George Wood in 1982 and said, this is a picture of the goalkeeper, the last Arsenal player at the same penalty. Oh, that was really funny.
It was a bit of a shocker. Mind you, Pedersen took a terrible penalty, and it wasn't the most difficult save. And to give credit to Ospina, he's a decent shot stopper. When they fly in now and again, but
decent keeper, you know, as well. I like him.
Oh, I'm not a fan. Right, in the box, Dave the Bins, Michael Hahnemann, Joe Madeira, 1993 is there. C-Rex is there. Arsenal and Mars there. There's somebody I'm missing, guys, and I do apologise. Sefo Kaya's there. C Rex. Oh, who else? Phil Reeves, Simon A. I tell you what, there's a load in there. Steve Eye's there. Oh, John Welsh is there. John Welsh. He's the crab man.
I think he's scratching here.
And Kyle Palmer's there. If I've missed you, I do apologize. I try to keep up with it, but I can't always. Yeah, the game petered out then, guys. Danny, first to you. Were you happy with the result? Do you think we did ourselves justice on the night? Or was it just a banana skin you were happy to avoid?
It could well have been a banana skin, like I was saying, with the 5 clean sheets in their last 6 Europa League games there. But I think the fact that they their season is over, they've had, I think, 2 or 3 pre-season games. They've had 1 Swedish Cup game, which they won 3-0. I don't think they were in the run of that you need to get in to be fit, match ready, and actually competitive game ready. So it did. I mean, that's really good. 3-0. I said that I wouldn't be surprised if we only got one. We'd struggle. But as always, it's the early goal that undid them. And then from there on, they're always fighting uphill to try and get anything from the game. And then you got to think, well, do we sit back? I mean, this is the home leg. Do we sit back on one and defend for 1-0 and then go away? Then they're going to think, well, you're going to go to the Emirates and there's no way you're going to win at the Emirates. So might as well go for it. Everyone push forward. And at times they played all part of the Lucas aid again. At times they played quite good football, quite attacking football, especially at the beginning of the second half. We did well to withstand all of that lot. And I think we did pretty well. Yeah, I'm very happy with it all. I mean, 3-0 away, that's all the record books will show. And then home, they're going to come there. They're going to be in awe of the stadium and the crowd and everything that's going on there. And then I think that there may be a bit of a tonking in the home leg. So, yeah, really happy with it.
Okay, cool. Dave, your overall thoughts on the game, please, mate.
I've got to be pleased with a 3-0 win. If you'd have offered it to me before the game, I'd have ripped your arm off. I think maybe I'm being overly nervous. There's a downside to winning the away leg 3-0 because we play them again 4 days before the Carabao Cup final. The temptation to stick a weakened, a cup tie team again must now be strong in Wenger's mind. And it may be the right thing to do, but it's a gamble with a competition that it looks like we need to try to win because the top four is sailing off into the distance and that's not going to happen. The cup tie team's fine as long as we have some strength off the bench in case Ostersunds make a fist of the first half. That's all I'd argue.
Okay, cool. Right. In the box, we have Srinath Murali. We have Ryan Cost. Ryan Cost, we love you too. You're always a great supporter here. AFC Cam. I think I mentioned everybody else. Guys, if you've got any questions, please put them in the box now. We're going to go to some questions now before, as the normal part of the show. I would say, look, guys, Dave's giving up his time. Danny always gives up his time. You know, the guys all give up their time on a regular basis. If you can give us a thumbs up, if you can, give us a like, give us a review on iTunes, etc. And I'm preferably a 5-star one, obviously. We'd really appreciate it. Marble Halls TV! Marble Halls TV is in the box. I'm going to go questions now, and I'm going to start with Dan on this. Danny, Ant235100 asks, was the pitch in this game better than Arsenal's recent performances?
Well, I'm not sure how you'd get those two together. Well, the pitch was pretty good. So, and our recent performance haven't been pretty good. So I'd say the pitch wins that on away goals. How the fuck are you going to answer a question like that?
I just liked that question. I thought it was great. And another one for you before you go to Dave. Nicky Wilson asks, when do we play the young boys in FC Carrier Bag?
Well, Chris's lot, the Pirates, are playing them away in the Tin Pot Cup League that he's playing, 5th Division. So if Chris's boys leave them still standing, then maybe we'll get them soon. Yeah, but Carpenter in! He's still there, Jace. He's frozen.
He's muted.
No, he's not. He's
frozen. I'll tell you what.
Is he? You want there, Dave.
Oh, no, that's not good. Well, it looks like we're on it. We're going to have to go ad hoc here, mate. I'll tell you what I'll do. I will apologise to everybody first who's in the chat box. For most of this show tonight, I've been in my £300 very focals and I can't read a bloody thing in the box. So I've taken them off and put on my £2 reading glasses and I can finally see what you're saying. Thank you to those who agree with some of the nonsense we're talking.
Okay. Well, while Jace is busy probably beating his computer with a big stick, there's a question that I got from that they sent to the podcast account from Kyle Palmer. This is one for you. He says, Tottenham have a very good chance of finishing fourth this season. Would them doing that and us winning the Europa League, thus knocking them out of the Champions League, not only be hilarious, but enough to save this season in your eyes? Much love. We'll tune in when I get home.
It's a wonderful thought, but I think I answered it in the chat box as well. Because my understanding is that if we win the Europa League, then England will have five clubs in next season's Champions League, as they have this season. For Manchester United, were added to the four. They didn't replace anybody. Hence why we've got five teams in the last 16. I think it shows the strength of the Premier League, and it's an indication of perhaps why we're not at the top table and we need to do something to address our defensive shortcomings, shall I say, over the summer.
Okay, Jace, the only question we've done is the one from Kyle Palmer. The rest of them are down to you. Well, they've all gone now, haven't they?
Yeah, they've all gone, mate. Can you do the questions, please? Apologies for the technical difficulties.
Righto, I shall go and do the next question for you, Jace. This is, that's from Jason. Okay, this is one from Srinath. He's taking a piss now.
Morali.
Mr. S, he says, why are we so crap at the counter-attack, Jason? While you're answering that, I'll go and cut and paste the questions that you put in there from before.
I genuinely don't think we get runners into the game well. And if you know, for argument's sake, if you've got a Wobi playing at the moment, you've seen what he can do when he just takes the ball in one fell sweep and moves it on quickly and keeps the move flowing. When he takes a few too many touches, I'm not sure if he's quite got the confidence yet just to play the way he wants to. You know, I think he's somebody like Wobi's maybe taking into account, you know, or who should I pass to when, instead of saying, right, bang, somebody so-and-so is free, give it straight. Ozil, as Dave mentioned earlier on, looks for his favourite players a bit too often for my liking. I think, you know, he needs to, you know, you've got to trust the team. If you don't trust them, you know, how are they ever going to earn that respect, so to speak? You've just got to play it to the free man in space. Tonight, if you look at it, you know, poor Welbeck had the touch of a blind cobbler. You know, it was awful to watch at times. And I don't think we have genuine pace in this team anymore. I think that's a big thing we're missing. You know, what pod did I do last night? Oh, it's Mario. What's Mario's pod, Dan?
Is it Arsenal My Pod?
No. Oh, Mario, it's a Canadian. Oh, no.
Isn't it Arsenal In My Blood?
No. Oh, sorry, Mario. I've had a mind melt.
Mario Rivas.
Yeah.
You're on that many shows, you can't even remember what they all are.
Oh, I remember the day when he was just out of us. Now he's always feeling you're like the Welsh Jeff Arsenal. You want every bloody pod that'll have you.
Oh, don't be like that, boys. Don't be like that. But we haven't strengthened well enough in recent seasons. Okay, you know, you look at our midfield, whether it be Ramsey, Jack, Xhaka, there's not enough pace in there. You know, we lack genuine pace in this side. Yes, we've got Aubameyang now, and hopefully we'll play. We got rid of Theo, but you know, Theo wasn't being used, so, you know, that was pointless. But, you know, you need a bit of pace, and you need people, you know, to run into space, to get beyond the defence, to do that job. From our midfield, it's only Ramsey who does it. Hopefully we're going to see Mkhitaryan do that and see Aubameyang express it. But, you look at Lacazette. Lacazette's not got pace. He really doesn't. So we need to see a bit more pace added to this squad, hopefully in the summer. But, there's time that we need to overhaul certain aspects of this squad. Not a major one, but you need to bring through, you know, 3 to 4 players with genuine quality, with a bit of pace, and solve these problems. That's my take on it.
Is it full 90 Gooners?
Oh, yes, full 90 Gooner. Sorry, Mario, I do apologise. I was on full 90 Gooner. I love Mario and Ryan, the top guys. AJ, unfortunately, was valentining it up with his girlfriend.
Excellent. Do you mind if I butt in a bit moment just on the Lacazette thing? Because I think we've discovered the reason why Lacazette has not had pace this season, because he showed it at Lyon in bucket loads. And that knee problem, I think he's been suffering from for a lot longer than just a week or two. Because you're right, we haven't seen any demonstration of that pace, but it was there.
Yeah, no, but
it's Christmas.
No, he may have had the injury since Christmas, but he's not got genuine pace, okay? Lacazette has simply not got genuine pace. If you look at, you know, at the early part of the season, his the reason he beats defenders is because it's all in his mind, you know. He's 5 steps ahead of the defender. That's where he's an exponent of getting away from defenders. If you look at him, his running starts, you know, ask Chris, he's not got genuine pace. He's never had it, you know, and this is one of the things. Sorry?
You don't need it in the league.
No, you don't. You don't. You genuinely don't. okay, one for Dave then, okay? Kevo Gunner asks, if Ospina plays well in the cup final, can he out-check for the number one position?
I would say, personally, yes, which is kind of ironic because Cech had an outstanding game at the weekend, but it's been a long time coming and he hasn't got any degree of consistency this season. He has the odd occasional problem at his near post, as we've seen. He's maybe unlucky in his penalty taking decision making. I think he's once or twice been letting some rather daft ones this season. So Ospina has been more consistent than him when he has played. But you've got to remember that Ospina has played largely against teams of European dustmen and postmen in the FA Cup and Football League Cup here. So if he goes on to have a big one at Wembley, then yes, I would pick him for certainly the next league game and see how it goes.
Can I challenge you there? So you've got a keeper in Ospina who time and time again has gone for the ball with the wrong arm. He's thrown the ball into his own net. He stands behind the line. These are all basics of the game.
But that's not this season.
He's still... okay, that's fair enough. That's fair enough. Okay. But you would trust him, would you?
Yeah, at the moment I would. And I'll tell you another reason why is because he wants to continue to impress when he does get a chance this season, because he's got the World Cup coming up. He wants to play in Russia.
Cool. Okay. Danny Matsanasi asks, do you think Ospina being captain shows Wenger no longer values the title or just don't have a clear leader in the side?
Was he captain? Bloody hell, what the hell? I saw that question and I thought, I've not looked to who's captain. Well, on that pitch, my first choice captain in the starting 11 would have been Mustafi. My second choice would have been Ozil. And my third choice would have been, for shits and giggles, I'd have given it to, Maitland-Niles. No, it should have been Mustafi. You've heard Mustafi, the big ginger-bearded warrior, shouting and screaming at people. That's who should have got it. Ospina, he's probably going, hey guys, hello guys, hello. Finally, you know, like your countryman, Rob Brydon, does a little man in a box. I bet that's how he sounds when he talks.
No comment, but it did surprise me that he was captain tonight.
Oh, I think fuck all, does it? Like, I think people used to say, it doesn't matter if you wear the armband, you've got 11 captains out there. Someone famous once said that. And like when I quote Dom, I probably plagiarised that and got it completely wrong. I think Dom put in the window and I was talking utter shit. It's not the first time that Dom said it. I remember one time I explained about what Dom said about Jack Wilshere having to have his ankle broken and reset. And Dom went, I didn't fucking say that. What are you talking about, you twat?
Sorry, Dom. Do you know we're trying to keep this to an hour?
Sorry.
Dave, John Welsh asks, have any of the young boys done enough to challenge for a first 11 spot?
Oh, well, blimey, what a question that is. Well, yes, I think so. I think that Maitland-Niles is perilously close, even though I thought he was not the kind of imposing figure we were looking for tonight. As we said earlier, it was his first chance. He deserves other chances in there because he does have immense power, good ball control. He can play a pass, but he can put in a tackle as well. And that's what we need in that position. And it's what we've kind of been lacking. I'm sorry to say, from Granit Xhaka, because I thought we bought a very fine quarterback and tried to turn him into a defensive midfielder. And he clearly isn't that. But of the other boys, you have to say Rhys Nelson looked very good when he was called upon in the cup team. And with Theo Walcott out of the way, you get the feeling he might get one or two more opportunities when injuries and suspensions get to bite. You have to say Eddie Nketiah, he will probably get an opportunity in the next 6 weeks in the Europa League if Danny can't shake off his ring rustiness. You'd rather go with a fully fit, promising lad who's scoring goals at a lower level and hope that he can convert that to this level. So, yeah, I think that we've got a pretty good string coming along right now, knocking on the door. I think just behind them, there's some even more exciting young players, and particularly the young lad, is it Smith Rowe, who no was in the England? There's certainly three or four who are knocking on the door, and this will be a big summer for them.
Okay, cool. Dan, Phil Reeves asks, would you play Eddie ahead of Welbeck? Nice lad, but if he's not playing on the left and using his work rate for the team, he might as well watch the game from his living room.
Are you exercising?
No, I've just got a bit of a twinge in the back of my knee.
You're not trying to fat shame me, are you, by moving around? Because I've not moved since 73. I would rather play a spinner up front than play Welbeck. Now, Welbeck has no part at this club. I was quite excited when we bought Welbeck. I thought, young English, England international, pacey player, got goals. But I still think if you put him down and you injected him full of truth serum and said, what is your best position, Welbeck? He'd go, I really don't know. He doesn't know. Nobody knows. He is not an Arsenal player. He needs to go to the graveyard for Man United fan players that is Stoke or Sunderland. Go on. Off you go. Thank you very much and goodbye. Don't rate him at all. And then he'll go and score loads of goals for England. How does that work?
That's fair enough, mate. And to elaborate on that, Dave, Yoni B asks, why can't Welbeck and Iwobi perform against such weak opponents? Do you think we should sell Welbeck in the summer?
I think we said earlier that Iwobi, actually, I thought he did perform tonight, mostly. Welbeck, I agree. He did have a real struggle, and I said we'd be coming back to him as the show went on, didn't I? He was responsible. Danny will probably prove me wrong now and say he had 98% pass completion or something. But I thought he lost the ball quite a lot because his first touch wasn't quite there. That's only to be expected after a long time out. There was one moment in the second half in particular that Iwobi made a wonderful run down the left-hand side outside of him, and Danny decided rather than give it to use him as a kind of dummy run and try to cut inside and get a shot away himself. But when he moved the ball to his right, the defender just whipped it off his toe and went away. And it was typical of Danny's night. He will play next week in the return, I'm sure, but he has to do a whole lot more and very quickly if he's to fend off Eddie Nketiah.
Yeah, I totally agree there, mate. I think, I like Welbeck as a guy, as his attitude. But you know, if you want to play at the highest level, you have to have the highest standards, and he's not quite there at the moment. Right, no nickname required. Asks, I'm gonna answer this. What are your thoughts on Wenger's approach to the issue of the captain's armband? He seems to give it to the player who just happens to stand next to him in the dressing room. I've got to agree.
The last thing I put in the box, Jace, that's Thunder Road, saying what Wenger's...
Right. In the, Thunder Road says, in his press, Wenger says he prefers his captain to come from the defensive side. Mustafi would have been a good shout. I absolutely agree. Great communicator for me. You know, he, yes, he has his issues, but I think, you know, he's been more of a plus point than a negative this season for sure. Yes, we've got defensive issues, but they stem from the way we play as a team, not just the defence. You know, the midfields let themselves down. You know, we don't defend from the top, and that's where all the great teams defend from, the top. You know, I did see, to be fair, in Ospina's defence tonight, I did see him showing encouragement to Nelson and, you know, making an effort. But it's not a game where he's going to be called upon a lot. You know, we're going to have the lion's share possession and it's going to be further up the park. You know, it doesn't say much about Ozil that he's not considered for it. You know, in the midfield, there's no chance of those two lads getting it. Monreal may be wanting to have it, but I think he's managing Monreal at the moment. You know, he brought him off early again today. So Mustafi would have been the obvious choice. I do think he has devalued the captaincy. Yes, I agree, you should have leaders throughout the team, but the captaincy of the Arsenal is something special. And yeah, I do think he's devalued it. It's in his thought process to do that, but I think he's you know, I don't think it's been a positive for us. Danny, Squires 2 for you asks, who can we get in to replace Giroud's beautifulness? He had 92%.
Apart from, could we persuade Dom to possibly come and play for us? Because he's a bit of a hunk. I mean, I think John Welsh is the older lady's favourite and the barmaid's treat. So either those two up front, I think we might have to get a new kit sponsor, because he can have some kind of itchy cream if John plays up front. who's a bit? The only bloke I ever thought I thought he's quite a good looking bloke was Tom Selleck's Magnum back in the day. Probably as I was a young man, I thought, I'd quite like to look like him when I get older. But that's as far as it's ever gone with me going, blokes are good looking. Him running around with his big moustache. And now I've got my own. And I'm not quite as hunky. I don't know where it went wrong. I don't know. Either you two got any idea which hunk we need to sign?
I've got no comment on this whatsoever.
Oh.
Huh? Yeah.
Don't look at me. Not a clue.
I don't know where to start with that. We're still quite Dave Seaman.
We'll buy Giroud back
as well. Yeah. Well, he ain't going to do much at Chelsea, is he? I reckon Conte will be gone before the beginning of next season, and whoever comes in, they're not going to want him. He's only there on an 18-month contract, isn't he? Come back, Giroud. All is forgiven.
Right on. I've got a really interesting question here, Dave. Okay, Ryan Cost asks: Is this last Lacazette injury due to Aubameyang's arrival?
No, I don't believe it is. I understand the inference behind the question, but no, I think he has been injured. He hasn't been moving as well as he has. I think it actually goes back to before Christmas, when you say Christmas. But I think it came to a head at Wembley against Tottenham. And I think they decided, you've been playing with this for long enough. You're not bringing anything to the side. If you're not finishing the chances that you had in that game, let's get it sorted once and for all. So, no, it's not a political or a matter of timing. I think genuinely they want to get a £52 million footballer back to his best.
That's fair enough, mate. That's fair enough. C-Resks asks Danny, should Eddie feature in the next fixture, or and will he become important in the Europa League?
Yeah, he will do, and he should do, because the kid is only, I'm just going to check here, I think he's 17. He's 18 years old, and he's playing for the under-23s, because he used to be under-19s, but it's now under-23s. So he's one of the youngest players in the squad. He's banging in goals. He got a hat-trick recently for the, I think it must have been the under-23s, because Rob Holding was playing at the back. He's just fantastic, and he needs first-team games, but also got to be careful of not playing too often or put too much pressure on him. Now, I think 3-0 up after the first leg at home, The game is, we're not going to lose the game. So just start him, let him play the entire game. But then again, you've probably got people saying, well, Welbeck's on £80,000 a week. Why aren't we going to play him, try and play him back into some kind of form? Because on his day, Welbeck is a really good striker and he can score goals in big games, as we've seen, like they'll go games against Man United. So it's whether you want to try and build one player up with a bit of match experience, or whether you want to try and get one of your only fit strikers back to goal scoring form. So, but I think with Lacazette being injured, Welbeck is going to get a lot more chances in the league over the however many games we've got left this season. So I don't think Eddie will start, but I think he'll, this season he'll just continue to get sub games. But when you're 18 years old, coming on as a sub for Arsenal, you're not doing too bad in life, are you?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he's on the upward trajectory, isn't he? Mm. And it's exciting times for the guy. Right, okay, that's it for tonight. I got one last question to ask, and it's to Dave. Dave, have you enjoyed your debut on the radio show?
Absolutely, I have. I think I've always enjoyed watching it, is the honest truth of the matter. And having been and taken part in it, it's very enjoyable. It's kept to a reasonable length, so you don't have to drive yourself to Scotland to listen to it in the car in the morning. That's good.
You have a little dig there. Never gets on with it.
Thank you very much, both. I've really enjoyed it. And thank you to everybody who's tuned in. Don't forget to give us a little thumb up. Thank you.
That's fantastic. Asked, Jace, have you got a thumb up? That's why you're standing up.
I need a thumb in the back of my knee, dude.
Dom will do that for you.
Oh, yeah. Well, no comments. Yeah, look, the all stuff we say is thank you to yourselves, Danny, and to you, Dave. Much appreciated.
Thank you.
Cheers, Jace. Lovely to see you in HG. And again, thank you very much to Stefan, who is at the tall blonde one, because he's paid for your camera.
Yeah, Steph always supports the show. He's been, he's a stalwart. He's been on the show, and we look to get him on again very soon for the end of the season.
And Corey paid for your headset and your tripod and a load of other bits, because Corey gave us a few million quid, because he's very kind as well.
Corey Austin, the man, the myth, the legend. Dave, it's been a pleasure having you on tonight. It really has. To everybody in the chat box, you're fantastic. AFC Cam, you're bang on. Carpenter out.
Oh, yeah. That guy out. Mention the Jay Bothroyd one. Jace.
Bear with me a second. I'm coming to it now. Yeah, the one thing I will say is, okay, he's lucky the Pirates have been rained off recently. There's a 22-0 coming up. You know, good old Carpenter. Right, to everybody. Yesterday, the guys released a podcast interviewing Jay Bothroyd. I finished listening to it today. It truly is a great, great listen. I never knew about Jay. I knew about Jay Bothroyd at Cardiff City, obviously. I knew of him as an Arsenal apprentice and coming through the academy, etc. He was refreshing. He was honest. He was quite well spoken. And, you know, it's a fantastic listen. You've got to listen to it just to hear this guy's take on the club, his career, etc. I thought he came across as a fantastic bloke. It's a top listen. So get yourselves on that. Next week, the podcast will be out on Monday night. And the next radio show is for Osterson's Home next Thursday. I can't remember who's on the lineup. Then obviously on to the cup final, etc. As usual, thank you ever so much for taking part in it, guys. This chat box is utterly outstanding. It's, you know, you really are fantastic. Some of the discussion in there is brilliant. So thank you very much. Give us a thumbs up. Please go to iTunes. Give us those reviews. We really need them. And that's it for tonight. Thank you. Take care and keep it Arsenal. Switch it off, Dan.
Bye.